Well, welcome everybody. I'm glad you're here today for what is our very first service of 2024. I hope your 2024 has gotten off to a great start so far. To kick off our 2024 here, I'd like to invite Zach and Riley up to the stage. You guys come on up here for just a minute. Absolutely. For those of you who may not know who this is Zach and Riley Hand, and Zach is our new student pastor here at New Life Christian Church. And so I've sent out some emails about him and Riley, and I just wanted to get them up here and let you get eyes on them. And Zach is an Ozark Christian College graduate. So you know, you know this is going to be good. But anyway. And Riley's graduating in May, so she'll be graduating from Ozark as well. Both of them grew up in Webb City, Missouri, so not too far from here, and known each other since they were children. But you guys can tell your story later, and it's a neat story. But we're just so excited that that God has led them here and how this whole thing came together. And so this Wednesday night, so if parents and grandparents with junior high and high school students, this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, right here at the Reardon campus, all the students from both campuses will be here. We're going to have a big pizza party, welcome you guys, and let everybody get to know them, and it's going to be fantastic. So please make sure your junior high and high school students are here Wednesday night. And then the following Wednesday on the 17th, both campuses, youth ministries will kick off again. And for right now, Zach is going to be leading both ministries at both campuses. And the student ministry at the Highlands campus is going to be transitioning to Wednesday nights, just like they're doing here at the Reardon campus. And so Zach is going to be a presence on both locations. And we've had a number of folks that have risen to the top of leadership over at the Highlands campus. And so he's going to be working with them. And it's just, you know, for this short-term season here, he's going to be doing both. Our long-term vision is we are, and I'd like to ask you guys to pray about this, we are searching right now and looking for another full-time student pastor who is going to focus just on the work out on the Highlands campus. So, but in the short term, he's got a full plate, all right? And so you guys be praying for them, and we're excited about it, and absolutely. So if you guys would, can we pray for them? And if you guys just kind of point your hands up here this way and just reach out this way, and let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for Zach and Riley. I thank you, Lord, that you have sent them our way. And I just pray, Lord, that you bless the work they put their hands to. Lord, I pray you bless the student ministries at both campuses, Lord. And I know, Lord, the potential is out the roof. There's so many young people that need to hear the gospel, and they need to follow you, Lord, and change the whole course of their lives. And I pray, Lord, you use both Zach and Riley and the future student pastor who's going to join us, whoever that is, whenever that is. And that, Lord, I pray that you just exponentially bless our student ministry here at New Life. That, Lord, that you will already begin preparing the hearts and minds of these students to be soft to the gospel. And I pray you give Zach the leadership ability and just the right words and the teaching ability to reach these students, and that leaders will raise up around him and volunteers that will pour into these students' lives. And so, Lord, I just pray for everything that's going to happen this year. We pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome, guys. Glad you can be here. And you guys make sure that, especially if you've got students, junior high and high school students, you come meet them after church and introduce yourself and get to know them. So thanks, guys. Good to have you. Welcome. Well, last weekend was Celebration Weekend, and we took some time, as many of you are here, to kind of look back and celebrate all the wonderful things God has done in 2023. If you weren't here last week, let me encourage you to go to our website, go to our YouTube channel, and watch that service, and I think you'll be encouraged as well as we talk a lot about what happened last year. Today, however, I want us not to look back, I want us to look forward. I want us to look forward into 2024, and I want to ask the question with all of you today. What will 2024 bring the New Life family? That's an interesting question, wouldn't you say? I think it is. I think it's an interesting question because nobody knows the future. So it's a little presumptuous to say this is what's going to happen this year. And not only that, but doesn't the Bible give us a little bit of caution and warning about being too boastful or approaching the days ahead with the wrong kind of attitude? It certainly does. Well, let me show you where. It's in James chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to this. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. How do you like that? If you're looking for a power verse that's going to help you have a better outlook on your future, those two verses probably aren't the ones you're going to want to put on the mirror in your bathroom. Can you imagine talking to somebody? What are you looking forward to this year? You got big plans? Nope. I'm just a mist. The sun will be up on my life soon. And I will disappear like I was never here. I mean, that's essentially what's being said. So I would say those two verses by themselves are probably not the power verses you're looking for. And I'm so thankful that we get the next two verses that follow it. Here's what the rest of those passage says. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So really, if you take a step back, this is a very clear warning against arrogance and pride about the future. And what is it that drives arrogance and pride? It is this belief that I know more and I know better than God. That's what drives that kind of attitude. So these verses are about attitude. These are verses about how a Christian should have and approach every single day with a very humble attitude. It's an attitude that's quick to say, God is in control, and I only want to be about his agenda, and I only want to be about what is God's will. And if it's not God's will, I want nothing to do with it. So that's at the heart of what James is saying. So when I say that I want us as a church family to look forward, and I want to ask the question, what will 2024 bring? I want us to come to that conversation with a very biblical perspective on our future. And since the Bible is very clear that nobody knows what will happen, not even tomorrow, then I would say, since that's true, I want us to move forward into 2024 as a church family, as humbly as we know how, as biblically as we know how, while seeking God's will in everything that we do, in the best way we know how. That's how I want to approach it. And quite honestly, isn't that how we want to approach our lives anyway? That's how I want to approach my life. I hope it's how you want to approach your life. New Year's resolutions are fine, but really at the end of the day, I think we as followers of Jesus should move forward in every day of our lives, as humbly as we know how, as biblically as we know how, and all while seeking God in everything we do as the best we know how. So with that in mind, I want to paint a little bit of a vision for you here today. A vision that I believe is grounded in Scripture and is God's will for our church family. Some of what I'm going to share with you today is going to sound very familiar. If you've been a part of our church for the bulk of 2023, I have no doubt that you have heard some of the language that I'm going to be using here today. You've heard some sermons about some of these things, but what I hope to do is I hope that I can pull it all together today in a very simple, clear, and very conclusive way of talking about it. So when you leave here, you're like, oh, I get it. I totally know. Yep, of course. That's it. That's what my goal is for today. I maybe would say it like this, that what I'm sharing with you today are things that I pray we as a church family get really good at in 2024. These are things that I hope will become very clearly into focus for us. These are things that I hope as a church family, we're all on the same page about. And all of this that I'm going to talk about today, it all starts with this very basic, clear understanding that we have to have as a church family of this question, who are we? Who are we? Well, I can tell you who we are. We are a church family. That's what we are. Okay, you just strip it all away. We're a church family. And some of you are like, well, duh, that's obvious. We are at church. We talk about church family. But what makes a church? What makes a church a family? What makes us different than any other group out there? You know, in the New Testament, the word for church, we translate that into English from the original Greek language of the New Testament. That original Greek word is ekklesia. How many of you ever heard that word before? Ekklesia. Yeah, so every time, you know, when you come to the word church in the New Testament, that's that Greek word. I'll give you an example. Well, Acts 11, verse 25 and 26, it says this. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus looking for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church. There's that Greek word right there, the ecclesia. They met with the ecclesia. They met with the church. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 says, Paul, this is Paul talking, "For I am the least of the apostles, do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the ecclesia." I persecuted the church. And I can just tell you that as a Christian, as a church family, I think it's important for us to understand, what does ecclesia mean? When we say it is the church, what is that word really getting at? What should I understand about it? That word ecclesia can be literally translated this way: a called out assembly or a congregation. A called out assembly or congregation. It's a gathering of people who have been called out and who assemble all for the same reason. Sometimes ecclesia is referred to as the called out ones. Okay, we're the called out ones. We're all here for a reason, and we're all bonded together by something. We're the called out ones. Peter kind of helps define what it means to be a called out one, or describe it for us really well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." He is describing the church, the family, the called out ones. So when we look at our church family, we are people who are composed of those who have been called out of sin and into his church. We've been called out of darkness and into his light. Those are the called out ones. That is the ecclesia. And let me tell you, as we talk about the church and what we are and who we are, I can tell you that the ecclesia is the people. Ecclesia is people. It's the people in this room. It's as well as all the believers around the world. And can I be very clear about something? The building that we are in can never be the ecclesia. This is the church building. It's not the ecclesia. And do you know why? Because this building that's made out of wood and nails and concrete and drywall and all of that stuff, do you realize that this building cannot in itself express faith in Jesus? This building doesn't have a soul. I mean, this building can't repent of their sins. This building cannot confess Jesus as Lord. You can't baptize this building or fill it with the Holy Spirit. This building cannot be a called out one. It just can't. The church is people. The church is made up of people. It's the family of God. We're the called out ones. So I often say it like this, although I would hate it if this ever happened, but if a tornado or a fire came through here and took this building away today, the church, the ecclesia, would go nowhere, because we're not the building. We are a gathering of called out ones. And if this building disappeared tomorrow, we would still gather. We would still be the church. So a careful reading of Scripture, if you read the New Testament, it answers some very important questions for us about the ecclesia that defines who we are. One of those questions that the Bible answers for us is, what is the church built upon? What's this foundation? Where did all this come from? I can tell you that the answer to that question of what is the church built on has a one-word answer, and that one word is Jesus. This whole thing is built on him. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So this entire thing is built on Jesus. He lived, he died, and he rose again to save people from their sins. He redeemed us by paying the ransom price, and in doing so has absolutely changed our lives. This church's foundation is on Jesus Christ. He is it. So that's the foundation. Well, who leads this thing? If this thing is built on Jesus, who's its leader? Well, that's another one-word answer. It's the same answer. That is Jesus. He is not only the foundation of it all, he is the leader of it all. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything for the ecclesia." He's the head of it all. Ephesians 4:15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So, just to be clear, as we define who we are, is that the church is the people, the called out ones who are built on the foundation of Jesus, and it is Jesus himself who is the leader of the ecclesia. So when we say things using these words, we are a Christ-centered church. Here's what we mean. This is what we're talking about. That we are a gathering of called out ones because of him. And so all of our worship and all that we do revolves around Jesus. He's the foundation. He's the leader. So we are centered upon Christ. This is a Christ-centered assembly. So if he's the foundation and he's the leader, then what does the ecclesia do? What is our mission? What are we supposed to do as the called out ones? Well, Jesus, in his very words, expressed to his followers the answer to that question. We've actually spent a lot of time with this lately. But Jesus himself, we get it right from his mouth. And it's recorded in Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples. He's talking to the very ones that will begin the called out ones movement, okay? You're going to go and make disciples. You're going to baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're going to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So really, that's the mission. That's the purpose. And this purpose, what Jesus is saying, who is our foundation and he is our leader, he is saying that my mission is a twofold mission. First of all, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, is to be about teaching everyone about Jesus, to bring them to a saving faith in him. And this includes baptizing them into Christ. And in that process, they become also a called out one like we are. They join us in that endeavor. They become part of the church family. Jesus said what? Go and make disciples and you baptize them. That is the first part of this twofold mission. The second is that the church is to continue to teach believers until they are built up and they are established in him and they are maturing in their walk with Jesus. Jesus said what in his words? He says, you teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So this second part is a lifelong process of growing and maturing throughout our lifetime to be growing more and more like Jesus every single day. So around here, we say it like this. What is the mission of our church? The foundation is Jesus. He's the leader of the church. And what does the church do? Well, we help people get saved and we help them grow more and more like Jesus every single day. And none of this mission is to come to an end or come to a halt until the second coming of Jesus. It's an ongoing, perpetual mission for the church until Jesus returns. That's the ecclesia. That's the church. That's who we are. And that's what we are called to do. So, in light of this understanding, what the Bible says the church is and the mission of our church is, let's talk about our church family, the congregation of New Life, for just a minute. I want to tell you that in our church family right now, there are essentially two groups of people. And all of you fit in one of these groups, okay? I'm very simplify this for you. Here's the first group of people, and I might even be describing some of you who are in this room right now. The first group of people are those who attend New Life, and they interact with the New Life family on a regular basis. They participate and have been invited to a number of things that we as a church family do, but they are not Christians yet. They are not Christians yet. Here's what I mean by that. There are folks that come and are with us every single week. And they come and are with us for a whole lot of different reasons, some of which are just very personal to them. And they are exploring, and they are observing, and they are investigating, and they are learning what this is all about. They're enjoying the process on their own terms and at their own pace. They are forming relationships and interactions with our church family. They're wanting to see where all this is going and where it's leading their lives. They're trying to decide if they believe all of this and if they really want to go all in with Jesus. More people think that than you might realize right now. And if I just described you, I want you to know just how thankful that I am that you're here. And we make no bones about what our mission is and what our aim is. Our aim is to help you come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we are here. And to believe, for you to believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins. And we would want nothing more than for you to come to faith into that reality as well, just like we have, and that you would choose to repent of your sins and, in essence, change your mind about the way you're currently living your life, and to make Jesus your Lord and unite with him in baptism, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to join the ecclesia that's described in the Bible. That's what we want, to become a member of the called out ones. And if I'm describing you, I want you to know that you are our friend, not our project, okay? You're our friend, you're not our project. And we recognize that God is probably stirring something in you right now that you are having trouble putting words on. I get that. Probably for some of you, this whole church thing has caught you a little bit off guard. You didn't know you'd be sitting in a church in 2024, but here you are. We care about you, and we want nothing more than for you to experience the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, okay? That's one group of people that exist here in our church family right now. Romans 10:9 is what I would want for you more than anything else, that for you to declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved, okay? We love you. We're glad you're here, and you're welcome here, okay? That's the first group. And there's the second group that makes up New Life Christian Church, and by far, this is the majority, this second group. Those are those people who are already Christians. Those that make up the New Life family, they're already part of the ecclesia. They've declared Jesus Christ as Lord. They believe with all of their hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. These are folks in our church family who have repented of their sins. They've changed their mind about the direction of their life. They've made Jesus Christ their Lord, united with Christ in baptism, live every day filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, looking forward to the return of Christ and living every day to be a part of God's will for their life journey. They're daily walking with Jesus. So, according to the mission that Jesus said, our mission is to help lead people to faith in Jesus Christ and to be baptized. And then to teach them God's word so they can grow more and more like Jesus every single day. And can I just be really transparent with you today? I believe that all of our focus as a church family should be on that. Okay, I'm going to let that hang for a minute because you don't know how to respond to that. I believe that everything about our church family should be focused on that. Be about the work and the process of leading people to faith in Jesus Christ and teaching them God's word so they can grow more and more like Jesus every single day. I believe that the Lord intended for the church to be that simple and that straightforward. Amen. That's our job. And you might be wondering, aren't all churches doing that? Well, no, they're not. And some of you are here today because you were not a part of a church that was focused on the mission of Jesus. Sadly, and it pains me to say this, but many churches are not focused on this. Believe it or not, it is really easy for a congregation to focus a lot of its energies and a lot of its resources on many other things that don't have anything to do with making disciples. How many of you know that to be true from personal experience? Okay. I don't desire to criticize or critique any other congregation. I'm focused on this one. But I can tell you in general that there are some churches who are more interested in maintaining their traditions than they are growing the kingdom of God. Anybody come from a church like that, an experience with something like that? And oftentimes, focusing on and maintaining, which I'll be honest, there's a lot of traditions I love, but focusing on that and making them the priority is often what keeps them from making disciples. They trade making disciples for keeping the status quo or the traditions. And that's what happens in a lot of churches. Some other churches are primarily focused on things like social justice. That's their mission. In fact, advocating for social justice in the world has replaced in that congregation disciple making. Or churches that preach a very political agenda, where that has become a higher priority than preaching the good news of Jesus. There are many churches where social justice and politics have taken the place of preaching Jesus and the disciples. Let me just tell you, and this is where I'm at on this, if you want to change the narrative on social justice and you want to become a champion for the marginalized and the overlooked in our nation, then you better start preaching and teaching unapologetically Christ crucified and the message of reconciliation in the Bible. If you want to see that change, you want to see our political landscape change, then the church better be all about championing the cause of Christ and making disciples. Because the only thing throughout history that has ever changed the world or had long-lasting impact in people's life and changing things and reforming things and changing a whole nation is the good news of Jesus Christ, when men and women as a whole turn their hearts to Jesus and it changes their community and their countries. That's the only time, okay? So a lot of churches get it messed up. The primary message is social justice and politics. And I'm telling you, the primary message has got to be the mission Jesus laid in front of the church. The church can drift off of its core mission very easily. And I hate to say this, but it's true. Many churches today are being led by so-called pastors who have come under the spell of the world and have drifted off the Bible and have lost their way. And those churches are not focused on making disciples. Some churches, though, are very well-intentioned, but their focus has really drifted to more of keeping everybody busy through all these different programs, trying to have a program for every single need in the church, and most of them aren't being done very good at all. And the assumption is that if we can just keep people really, really busy, that somehow being busy equates to being effective for the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, being busy and being effective for the Lord are completely different things. You can be busy and wear yourself out and not win one person to Jesus while thinking you're doing something really good. And a lot of churches are focused on keeping their people busy. Can I just be honest with you? I don't have any intentions of keeping you busy for the sake of being busy. That doesn't sound like the church to me. But that's where a lot of churches are at. There's other churches that whose sole focus is to draw a big crowd. And so they host bigger and better events, and they got to always top the last event. And can I just be honest with you? It is not hard to draw a crowd. I could pack this thing out 100 times a weekend, or, well, 10 maybe. By completely changing what we're doing and bringing in other people and doing all that has nothing to do with the Lord, and we could pack this thing out but I'm telling you, that's not our agenda. That's not our goal. But sometimes there are churches that make you wonder if it's just on to the bigger and better event the next time around to draw more and more people. And, you know, others have just gone flat out progressive. They've unhitched themselves from the Bible. They might have Christian or church on their sign, but they are not the ecclesia as described in the Bible. So with all of that said, it's my conviction, and it's also the conviction of the leaders here at New Life, that the congregation whose sole focus is on making disciples is the same congregation who is best equipped and finds itself also loving their neighbors as themselves. You realize that? The churches who focus on disciple making are the ones that love their neighbors the best. The churches that focus on disciple making are also the churches that find themselves caring for one another better than all the other churches. A church that focuses on disciple making is also the church family that seems to encourage one another daily really well. And they become the very best parts of what the Bible describes the church should be. So friends, I'm here to tell you, if we stick to the mission that Jesus put in front of his disciples that has been transferred on us today, we will become all the best parts that the church is supposed to be. That's the way the Lord designed it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will be in it and it will fuel and fan the flames of the Spirit all the way through it all. That's how it works. You know, before we launched the Highlands Campus, I preached a series of messages called Get Ready. How many of you remember those? There's about 8 of those messages. And in that series, I talked a lot about discipleship. And you might remember, we talked a lot about what would the future of our church like, what would be like once we launch the Highlands Campus. What are the things that are going to bind our two campuses together to help us stay focused and unified and healthy and spiritually growing? And in that series, I introduced you to this phrase. I called it the all-church discipleship path. Remember? The all-church discipleship path. That there is this path that we would like everybody to be on, this discipleship path. And when I say everybody, I'm talking about our kids and our students and our adults, all men and women, everybody would be on this path. And everybody would know what this path is because it was simple, it's clear, it's obvious, it's also memorable. You could easily share it with other people. Essentially, every single person in our church family would be able to know and answer these two basic questions. The first question is, what is the mission of the church? I hope all of you, just from listening to this sermon today, could articulate, this is what the mission of the church is. So first question, down, all right? There will be a test after church, just so you know. But I think it's really important that every single person who calls New Life home can say with clarity, this is the purpose and mission of the church, just to make disciples. We exist to lead all people to new life in Christ. And then the second question is this: how am I personally a part of this great mission? How am I personally connected to this, what our church is doing? I'm telling you, friends, if everybody in our church could answer those two questions, we will become everything, the best parts of what the Bible says the church is supposed to be. What is the purpose and how do I fit into it? So let's talk about that question for a minute. How am I a part of this great mission? Well, how you're a part of it is this: by walking down this discipleship path with every single brother and sister in this church family. A path that is marked by spiritual growth and daily walking with Jesus and serving the Lord. In a very practical sense, we've tried to simplify this path, and this is what will sound somewhat familiar to you if you've been around for 2023. We've tried to simplify this question, what is my part in this great mission, down to 3 words. Let's say it together. Let's test your memory. What is it? We exist, we're gonna gather. Man, I knew you could do it. We haven't really said, I knew you could do it. This whole discipleship path comes down to these 3 words: gather, grow, go. Let me refresh your memory just quickly because I haven't said it in a while. When we say gather together, here's what we mean. What we mean is to do the very thing that you are doing right here, right now, where we come together as a church family for worship and for remembering Christ's sacrifice and to take communion together remember Christ's sacrifice by preaching God's word and rubbing shoulders with other Christians and being encouraged by the body of Christ. In other words, we want everybody in this church family to love being together and see it as a very vital, important part of my walk with Jesus. So friends, I'm just going to tell you, we don't see a discipleship path that omits the gathering like this. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That day approaching is the return of Jesus. For some people, gathering with the New Life family for worship, it is the beginning of their journey. So you know that the people I was describing at the very beginning who are searching this out, your first exposure to our church family was probably the worship service, our larger gathering. And for a lot of folks, that is the day they start down this journey of exploration and discovery. These are the first steps to becoming a follower of Jesus. And that's what I believe the power of our worship gatherings can do for somebody who is open to what the Lord is calling them to become. It can be the first steps towards following Jesus. This is where they meet the Lord for the first time. This is where their Christian life begins. So we'd say this is where they connect to God for the very first time. Our gatherings. So you can never underestimate what the Lord is stirring in somebody's life the second they walk in here. And then for those who are already Christians, this gathering right here is vital in our continuing journey with the Lord. We grow and we mature. The more we worship the Lord, the more we remember and celebrate his sacrifice on the cross, we grow, we are challenged, we are encouraged by the preaching of God's word. There is joy that comes together from being all together, church family. We love the family of God. We love being together because that's the way the Lord designed it. So, everybody who is on this discipleship path that I'm talking about understands that the gathering with the larger body of Christ here at New Life is vital to my walk with Jesus. So guess what? You guys are here at church today. Welcome to the journey. You're on the path. Would you commit to it? Would you protect this day? Would you make it a priority to get your families here? Would you have this understanding that no matter what, this is protected in my week? It's that important. So we gather. What else do we want you to do on this path? We want you to grow. What do we mean when we say grow? I can tell you it has nothing to do with the size of our congregation. It has nothing to do with our campuses. It has nothing to do with any number at all. When we say grow, we're just talking about spiritual growth. And spiritual growth that involves learning more about the Lord, becoming more Christ-like, and bearing good spiritual fruit. It is a growth that is spurred along by God's word. It's God's word that shapes all of our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes towards others. I'm going to tell you, this growth that we're talking about, this spiritual growth, it is a lifelong process of developing and growing and maturing and moving forward and never forgetting that it is God who started this good work in us and promises that he will carry it on to completion. This is what we mean by growing. It's healthy spiritual growth. Here's what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Philippians 1:3 about this very thing. He said to the church, the Christians there in Philippi, I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is, again, the day of his return. We're talking about growing, maturing. It's a lifelong process. God started it in your life. The day you said, I'm with him, God started this process in your life. He began a good work in you, will carry it to completion. So, what is my part in this great mission of Jesus? Yes, we're going to make disciples. We're going to teach the Lord, or teach about the Lord and baptize. And you know what else? I'm going to be a part of that teaching process and spiritual growth every single day. So how does a church family like ours help people grow spiritually? Obviously, there's part of that that comes by just coming to church. But you know what? As we have identified, I've shared this with you before, but there is engagement with God's word. It helps people grow. There's connection with the body of Christ, the church family, that helps people grow. Loving and serving others helps people grow. It's not the only way, but as a church family, this is how a lot of it happens. So how does a church experience these things, engage with God's words, connection with the body of Christ, and loving and serving others? And many of you know what I'm about to say next. A healthy life group. Healthy life group. We are getting quite large as a church. Have you noticed? So how does a large group like this continue to grow and be a part of this family? What's this? By getting smaller. As we get larger, church, we get smaller. And that's by starting these healthy life groups where you and about 10 to 12 other people from New Life come together once a week to dig into God's word, to pray together, enjoy the fellowship of other believers, serve together, keep the lights on together, and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So, these things just come to me. I don't know where they come from. So, we have this vision for New Life, and hear me, please, and we believe it's attainable that every single person that calls New Life home will be in a healthy life group. I don't think it's pie in the sky, where every single person can say, I gather with my church family on the weekends and I love being a part of the church. And I love this small group of people because you know what? When we're together, they're my friends. They care for me. They shepherd me. We pray together. We eat together. We celebrate things together. These are my people. And I'm going to say something that a lot of you can relate to. How many of you can affirm that your experience in the New Life family would not be the same without your life group? Doesn't it completely change? What if everybody was in one? So, we want you to gather, and we want you to be a part of a life group. This is this discipleship path. And here at Life Groups for Us, we have all sermon-based life groups. So what I preach on Sunday, whoever's preaching, that gets carried over into the life groups. We provide a study guide that the leaders of these groups take, and we work on those together. So we go even deeper in the very things that we're talking about. That's what keeps our church aligned together. We're studying the same things. We're praying about the same things together. I'm going to put a call out to you right now. We need more life group leaders. And I know right now God is putting on your heart, some of you right now, the tug, and you know I'm talking about it and you feel it. You need to step up and be a life group leader because we cannot start these groups to accommodate the needs in our church family without leaders in our church family stepping up and saying, I'll do it. I'll lead. And I know my church needs me. We do need you, and I'll lead a life group. So, if that's you, and I would contend it is, some of you are like, I love my life group, but I need to step out and lead one. If that's you, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to go to our website or go to the app. And if you just click on that tab that says life groups, not life group questions, but life groups, it's going to take you to a small page that gives you a little description for life groups. And you're going to see on there, start a life group leader's assessment. So you're not committing yourself to anything. You're going to start the process. You're going to answer a few questions. And you're going to give Pastor Cody and his team permission to call you up and talk to you about what being a life group leader is all about. Some of you need to go to our website or our app and you start looking for a life group right now. We've got a handful that are open. My understanding right now, we have 3 life group leaders that are ready to go. We just need to match them with host homes. We've got 3 more groups ready to launch right away. We want to launch groups all the time. And so I'm going to put that charge out to you. This is part of the discipleship path. We're going to gather together like this, and we're going to grow in a life group. And then finally, we're not just going to gather and grow, but we're going to go. That's the third word. We're going to go. When we say go, we specifically mean put our faith into action. It is the outpouring. It's what comes out of you that is first began the good work in you. So the Lord started a good work in you, and then that's got to come out because as the Lord does something in you, it comes out as action. And there's a lot of ways that this can come out. Sometimes we talk about going in these words, ministry and evangelism and generosity and bearing good fruit. Jesus is the best describer of go when he said in Mark 10:43, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I can tell you there is no greater outward evidence of a heart that is completely surrendered to the Lord than when somebody takes on the role of this servant and says, here am I, Lord, send me, and I will go and do whatever the Lord wants me to do. So going and serving the Lord could be as simple as volunteering here at the church. It could be serving one of our ministry teams, serving in our kids' ministry and our student ministries. It could be inviting a friend to church and being an inviter. It could be having compassion on somebody you know, helping them out. Anything you do that's got God's name attached to it, you do in the name of Jesus, is serving him. And I'm telling you, the list of things that you can do as a going person is unlimited. But can I also tell you something that is beating really strong inside my heart? I've never talked about this publicly before. This is the first time I've ever talked about it. But I feel like what the Lord is just stirring in me with more urgency than I've ever had in my whole life is to equip the New Life family. When we talk about go and this outpouring, it is to equip every last one of you to be a one-on-one disciple maker. So in other words, like you, yeah, absolutely. So I can tell you one of the agendas for 2024, by the time we end this year and we get to Celebration Weekend 2024, some of you, many of you, can say, I have led somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. I did that. You know what? If I had to guess, many of you, if you're being honest, you don't have to confess this, but you would say, I have never led somebody to Jesus. Would that be true? Don't nod, but I think it's true. If we're going to be a disciple-making church, then we have to make disciples. And it actually goes beyond having incredible worship services that we invite our friends to. That's part of the process. It goes beyond having incredible life groups, which everybody needs to be a part of one, which is a vital part of this process. But when it comes to go and serving the Lord, I want to ask you the question, who are you investing in for the purpose of leading them to faith in Jesus Christ? We're going to work on that this year. And there's going to come a day later this year where you're going to have resources available to you 24/7 to initiate one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three disciple-making gatherings. And you're going to lead people to Jesus. And I'm going to enjoy watching many of you who have never baptized somebody before be right there, baptizing who you've led to Jesus. We're going to teach you how, and we're going to resource you to do it. And I believe you're going to see the Holy Spirit do some amazing things this year. That beats in my heart like you would not believe, with an urgency that I've not quite experienced before. So, I guess in closing, I'm a little long today, and I'm sorry about that, but you did sing happy birthday to me, so it's kind of it's kind of your fault. I believe we should solely focus on being a disciple-making church, and I do believe it's that simple and straightforward. And I believe that when we do that, all the best parts of the church that the New Testament tells us about comes to fruition. I believe that every last one of us should be on a discipleship path that includes gathering, growing, I mean by getting in a life group, and going and serving the world, and having many of you become a one-on-one disciple maker this year. And I believe that God's going to bless that. So as I look out on 2024, I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, but I do believe I know what God's will is in this matter because the Word of God tells us. And I do believe it is His will to be a disciple-making church, to lead others to Him. I do believe it's His will and His vision to be a one-on-one disciple maker who serves the Lord that way. And with the Lord's help, we'll become that very thing. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just give you thanks for all you've done. Lord, what you have done in this church family over the years, these past almost 50 years, has been life-changingly amazing. And Lord, we believe that we're just scratching the surface of what it is you have for us. So Lord, here as we stand at the beginning of the year, I pray, Lord, that the things that we're talking about today will come to fruition. That, Lord, we will make making disciples the sole priority in our church family. And that we are all part of it. That's the mission of the church. And our role in it is to be a part of the church family. Ecclesia gathers together and loves the church family. We grow together in a life group. And we go and serve you in any way that's got your name on it. Specifically, Lord, being for many of us, a one-on-one disciple maker. Oh, Lord, we ask for your help in this great adventure called the Ecclesia. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.